Ever feel like everyone was working against you?
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton.
You know we've got your back. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No, I am your father.
Shut up and jam!
You want to talk about the original unwanted pregnancy on this May the 4th be with you? Wow. As we discuss the leak from the Supreme Court on this May 4th, this morning, the biggest, most notable unwanted pregnancy in intergalactic history. And we're going to get into all the realities of this, because there is, as you know, I presume, if you're even a casual partaker in the Joe Thomas in the Morning program, no group in the world that you want farther away from the protection of an unborn life than legislators. Why? Because they're legislators. How do you make a rule? How do you make a law? How do you, what did Jerry Brown say?
Inside the policy, you need a law. You need a rule. You need the coercive power of government to say, do this.
That's why you can't really legislate morality, because morality doesn't come from without. It comes from within. I think that's a pretty obvious thing to say. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, as much as we say the word abortion, I'd like to say the word adoption equally. Can't get that equity because nobody wants to talk about, you know, anything but that particular A word. But the other A word, adoption, and it all is testimonial. It is all neighbor versus neighbor, neighbor helping neighbor. So since they've leaked this out onto the town square for discussion, and we still, to this point, don't know what the Supreme Court's ruling actually is. We just know that back in February, early February, by the way, somebody asked Justice Alito to write an opinion. Could have been, hey, show me what your opinion will look like. I don't know John Roberts' process for this. Does he ask all the Supreme Court justices to write an opinion on something, and then he picks the one that best gives voice to the vote taken? I've been in plenty of meetings where, you know, organizations, that's how they do it. All right, I want everyone to give me a draft of what you would say about this, and I'll pick the one I like the best, or maybe even just cobble it together from everything. If you've ever worked in that sort of process, in that collaborative process, that's usually what happens. Everyone puts something in, and usually the end product is an amalgam of everyone's ideas. But since they've leaked this onto the street, and we will weigh in with this, Marie Fisher from Project 21, Abortion and the Black Community. By Margaret Sanger herself. Let me read to you Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. And in some places, they've taken her name off of Planned Parenthood. A letter to black ministers in the South. Quote, "We do not want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population." We don't want the word to go out that we want to do that. But that's what the eugenicists wanted. That's what they wanted when they wrote the Virginia Act for Sterilization.
But Charlie, the Virginia Act for Sterilization says you have to be committed to a sanitarium.
Yeah, which you would do if you were on public assistance for too long. If you're on public assistance too long, well, obviously you're not going to be able to find a job.
Yeah, but I'm black, and the laws say I can't get hired.
Well, then we have a three hots and a cot for you in the eastern states. By the way, we're cutting your tubes. You weren't using those ovaries, were you?
Nah.
That's Virginia's history. That's American history. Yet we're told Thomas Jefferson's statue has to come down because somehow he was the racist. But Jefferson and even Madison knew you can't legislate morality. You can't legislate a planned pregnancy. You can only reach out neighbor to neighbor. We've grown so inartful in our own ways of telling people, hey, you know, here's right and wrong. Admitting sex is fun. There's nothing wrong with admitting that. But by admitting that, then we can begin the conversation in how do you plan for a pregnancy and how to avoid unplanned ones. Or do we have the clip of Tim Kaine even saying that on the Senate floor?
Why has this happened? While there are a number of reasons, the most important one is this. The rate of unplanned pregnancies is decreasing. Teen pregnancies are decreasing. And if the number of unplanned pregnancies goes down, the abortion rate goes down. There is a direct connection between unplanned pregnancies and the abortion rate. So here's a strategy that should unite everyone. Reduce the number of unplanned pregnancies.
I can't argue with him. I'd much rather do that than try to trust legislators like Tim Kaine to write laws, those coercive powers of government.
Inside the policy, you need a law.
Because that's never going to fit every instance. But neighbor and neighbor, community to community, family member to family member, I think we can manage to continue to fight unplanned pregnancies.
Like us, follow us, friend us. Just don't touch that dial.
You have chosen wisely.
Charlottesville's homepage, Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV.
Fighting unplanned pregnancies, you know, making people aware, because this is the debasement where we are, not in debasement, but the debasement of our societal discourse, because we're like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. So our inability to talk about things becomes a requirement to legislate things. Just make a law. So make it against the law. Or make a law that makes sure everyone can get it. Just don't ask me about it. And then, you know, we have folks like Sally Hudson on the Moscow, who, not of her own volition, this is just the lazy language that we use, call it care. Cue her.
1 in 10. Virginia counties has a clinic that can perform abortions. And so that means that lots of people have to travel to get the care that they need.
Care. Now, care is an interesting word. Care implies help and benefit and making someone medically better. I have a couple of friends who have had abortions. None of them can claim that they were made medically better or cured. But this becomes the language of the left.
To travel to get the care that they need.
The care that they need. The post-coital contraception. I thought the Meatloaf song was a documentary. I thought Meatloaf was heroic. I got the wrong implication from that Meatloaf song, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. Nobody ever told my, you know, and it goes down the line. And why is it so hard to understand the importance of life, and the gift, and the importance of mothers and fathers? Good God, this weekend is Mother's Day weekend, and we're discussing this most horrific thing. Never mind the fact that this is deliberative process run amok on the streets. We'll get into the jurisprudence side of this story as it continues to, you know, interestingly have huge protests that just instantly appeared on the steps of the Supreme Court. I said that yesterday. Isn't that curious how these protesters seem to already know this leak was about to hit Politico, the gossip rag of Washington, D.C., by the way. Let's not feign that they're some, you know, they're just slightly better than somebody's Twitter feed. And if you work for Politico, I'm sorry, go find a better organization to work for. So they're the, but people like it. Yeah, people like the gossip. Oh, what's Leonardo DiCaprio doing? What movie is he in? Hey, how about the fact that he's spending a ton of money buying lawyers to help fight against climate, quote, deniers, huh? How about that? He's spending all that money from all those movies he's made. To fight more faulty science. And believe me, the climate change and eugenics movements are one and the same. But Lars had a commentary yesterday where he was talking about how many people would have to die if some of the people in the green agenda achieved their goals regarding food production and the elimination of the petroleum-based fertilizer that's made by using some petrochemicals. And he said, you know, half the population would have to die. And I was yelling at the radio, Lars, that's the point. The eugenicists and the climate change jockeys, they want to have a star. And they're the ones, you want to talk about a star chamber. These are the folks who want to pick and choose who gets to breed. Like we're horses out to pasture, out to stud. He's a good candidate. Why don't we breed him with her and see what we get? These are the scary people. Am I some Puritan who says, you know, chastity belts on boys and girls? No, I'm just saying that if you allow these people to their end, the Margaret Sanger crowd is going to be selectively breeding humans to control the climate change population and the racial. And this is so sickening because you and me, we get called racists all the time. I can't walk down the street in Charlottesville. Somebody says, oh, he's that guy I saw with Ibram Kendi trying to defend being a racist. Embarrassment. National TV defending the racist thoughts he has. When they weren't, and anyone who watched it, but very few people watched it, but oh, everybody talks about it. All of these people are people who you will take the words abortion and call it care. Who exactly is it caring for? Is it caring for the absentee dad who's hit the road, Jack, because, well, that's not what I intended. I was just getting my jollies. I'm sorry, was that an inartful turn of a phrase? I'm sorry, I'm just, this is how guys think. We've raised a generation of young men who just want to have fun without understanding their role in, you know, the biological conclusion of the fun that they were having on some Saturday night by the dashboard light.
I'm not leaving till I get justice. Well, not exactly justice, I suppose, more like preferential treatment, but I'm not leaving till I get it.
That's what they want. They want their preferential treatment. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, Joe. It's Seth from Oklahoma.
Hey, Seth. Can you hang on? Let me see. Do I have time? Because we only have a couple of minutes to the news. Can you do it in a couple of minutes, or do you want to hang on?
Oh, sure. I'll make it quick. Just wanted to say thanks for calling out Tulsa yesterday. And the Greenwood District is very, it's been revitalized, and it's a nice place to visit if anybody wants to come. And also, I was going to let you know, because you're always on the cutting edge of news, Leonardo DiCaprio filmed a movie here.
Oh, did he?
Called Killers of, Killers of the Flower Moon. It's a Martin Scorsese film, uh-huh. So it should be coming out sometime soon, and it really indicts the FBI, so.
Oh, it does it. So really,
you were the first to air it on your radio.
All right. Did you see any of the production? The closest ever I got to a big Hollywood production is they filmed an episode of The White Shadow with Ken Howard in my neighborhood. So I can say I never met Thomas Jefferson, but I met the man who played Thomas Jefferson in the movie.
They came to Oklahoma to film it, and they filmed it in Pawhuska, and they just transformed the town back to, 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to see.
Is it about the riots of 1921?
No, it is about the FBI and what they did to the Osage Indians.
Oh, okay.
And the oil money. So,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
Well, it's all about the government is really not your friend.
I can take, a guy, and it's funny because he's giving all this money to the green movement to go after, climate deniers. I wonder if he realizes the irony in that. But, me, I'm able to watch, movies just for the storytelling. I can separate myself. My wife, she's got a whole list of people like, Kevin Spacey and Mel Gibson that, we used to like watching in the movies and we don't anymore because they opened their mouths and told us what their politics was. I still can, but I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. I hope everything is going well in Oklahoma.
It is. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, Seth.
Appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
You listening, too.
Being tuned in means no algorithms throttling your content. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the morning. This is Ted Steve. Morning, 434-964-1075. So what is the root of all this? What is the agenda? What does this all come back to? It's the family. The black family. The black family is the way that so many of them escaped the legal possession of plantation owners through the Underground Railroad. The faith in God and in a higher authority, the support of their family as they went through this. The eugenics movement is based on the idea of breaking up the nuclear black family. But beyond that, the Marxist movement, if you read Marx, you see that he's against breaking up the family in general, the authority of some mysterious mother and father rather than the state. And this is where we are. We are breaking up families.
Oh, Joe, I don't want to be forced to marry some loser.
Well, all right, then don't. Nobody is saying you're forced to do anything. It's amazing the folks who fight you on common sense family values think that you're trying to force them to marry some loser. Nobody's trying to force you to do anything. What they're doing is forcing you into an economic hole that leaves you little, if any, choice. Ridge Schuyler, Network to Work, and the Orangetown Project says single mom has to make $45,000, $46,000 a year so that she can afford child care and the necessary bills beyond that to survive just in the city of Charlottesville. And that I think it's 23% of our population doesn't even reach that plateau. So what the government can do is stop driving jobs away, stop allowing the crony capitalists that populate K Street. Oh, Joe, how do you make this about K Street? Because it is. It all starts, you see, to act like it's a one-off, it's a one-shot deal. is like saying cancer is one thing or homelessness is one thing. We're smarter than that. But you have to understand that, you know, for example, all right, Virginia Act for Sterilization, 1924. Virginia passes a law that stayed on the books until the, well, I guess 70s, and then 2001, Mitch Van Yeris gets a bill passed that apologizes for it, sets up a relief fund. But in 1924, Virginia wrote a law that said, if you're committed to a sanitarium, we can sterilize you. But who was being committed to those sanitariums? Poor people. People who couldn't find a job chronically. And what class of people were those people majority? It's funny how the folks who like to say there's a disproportionate percentage of arrests in the city of Charlottesville in the community of color, as they call it, the black neighborhoods. But when the eugenics campaign goes out there and in Virginia writes laws that say this black community who can't find jobs because we wrote these other laws, what was the, I have all these here, dossier form here for this morning. That is the actual text of the Virginia Act for Sterilization. 2001 Joint Resolution, Mitch Van Yeris, Charlottesville, so. Oh, here it is. The buildings of this movement starts in Charlottesville with the Anglo-Saxon Clubs of America and the Virginia General Assembly. There are two outposts in Charlottesville, one in the town and one in the university, to try to pass laws that prohibited, as we saw in the Loving case, interracial marriage. And this is actual history. This is the reason I didn't complain, even though it took away my talking point, when they took the statue of Harry F. Byrd down at the Virginia Capitol. Because if we're going to take other statues down because of racism, this guy was the grand wizard, pun intended, of Virginia's racist Jim Crow laws. So the Jim Crow laws restrict access to employment for the black community. Black community needs public assistance. After a certain amount of public assistance, the state commits you to a sanitarium where they sterilize you. And that was the process. That's what happens when you ask the government to intercede on these things. And why was the government saying the newly freed black community couldn't get jobs? Because the white community was afraid. Because the white community didn't want to have to try to work hard against somebody who was going to perhaps outwork them for their place in the community. Why do K Street lobbyists try to get legislation passed that will restrict their marketplace? Somebody was just pointing out how the tech firms are all in favor of more regulation and the disinformation. Of course they are, because if you run an information technology, if you run some online publisher and the government makes it harder for someone else to be an online publisher, that's fine. You can fold the cost of doing business into your model, because you already have a cost of compliance built in. It's the new guy, the somebody who is going to challenge you, that becomes very difficult for them to get started. That's why they do it. That's how we wind up with so few job choices. It's like they've created a reverse Jim Crow. Ironically, here's Joe Biden out there saying, it's Jim Crow 2.0. Well, the crony capitalism that's exemplar of K Street and their regulatory capture through the unelected bureaucrats of Washington really could have a decent case made that that's really Jim Crow 2.0. All we need is to start committing the poor who are on public assistance into sanitariums and saying, hey, once you're in the sanitarium, we've got a law that says we can sterilize you.
Tuned in to you as much as you are tuned into us. Fox News updates every half hour on Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the morning. Ted's D, 434-964-1075. Emails come into Joe at WCHV.com. Father Frank Pavone, priest for life, going to join us in a little while. And Murray Fisher from Project 21. But a reminder, by the way, in case you were wondering, there's still a Department of Homeland Security division called the Disinformation Board, and it's still headed up by Nina Jankowicz, the singing Harry Potter nerd, who apparently, if she's a Harry Potter nerd, must have been rooting for Voldemort. Must have thought the Malfoys were sympathetic figures. But just as a reminder, while all this is going on, Kay, by the way, still have a Department of Disinformation, have we forgotten? But family. Why does Marx want the family broken up? Why do the eugenicists and Margaret Sanger want the black family broken up? In abstract, all families broken up. Because it takes the power away from the state. Joe, you can't make me get married to somebody. And huh, nobody's saying you have... If you never get married your whole life, you misjudge how much I care. That's your choice. It's funny how the pro-choice crowd is really, you know, every time you talk about the power of a family, the amazing things you can do in conjunction with a family unit, they'll be the first ones to say, oh, this is a blended family, and you're just, okay, fine. But that we have roles to play. We have gifts from God that we can contribute to one another. And amongst them include being able to bear witness on right and wrong. And when you debase the family, when you remove the family, then you take that anchor away. Then it becomes the government decides what is right and wrong, and I can vote for the government. So if I want to do something, all I have to do is get enough votes together, and then I can get my way.
I'm not leaving till I get justice. Well, not exactly justice, I suppose, more like preferential treatment, but I'm not leaving till I get...
Hey, howdy, right? Ain't it the truth? But that's why they want to debase the family, because the family gives you roots in something other than the government, and then that gives the government the ability to say, well, you can have what you want, just get enough votes for it. You want to have cookies for breakfast? Get enough votes for it, and the government will say it's okay. You want to, you know, continue to biologically create new life and just end it? Get enough votes, and the government will say it's okay. It's not, but the government will say it if they think there's enough votes to be had for saying it. That's why it will be interesting. I'm glad if this is really the Supreme Court's opinion, and if you read it, you realize the Supreme Court's opinion is this should be legislated, not the, you know, precedent of a courtroom. Courts should just determine what is constitutional and what isn't. But whenever you bring up family, somebody was like, wow, my cousin was in an abusive relationship. Yes, then get out of it. We also don't spend nearly enough time trying to give testimony to our children as to what good relationships and bad relationships are. And how to not go into one until you can find that good relationship. On how you should only associate with people who lift you up, and in the odd case, instances where you're the one lifting other people up. That's how you should live your life. But that takes the power away from the tyrant. Good morning. You're on the air with Joe Thomas in the morning. Who's this?
Well, good morning, Joe. You'll own nothing and be happy, Klaus Schwab.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we'll have central government for the whole world.
And they'll give
Brussels.
You what you need. Just vote for it and, you know, tell us what you need and get enough votes for it, and then we'll give it to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really a shame. I remember in 10th grade, I had a liberal English teacher, and they wanted us to write a paper, might even been before 10th grade, but I can't remember, wanted us to write an English paper in upper level English in school, in high school, about the controversy of abortion. I just flat out wouldn't do it. I wrote a paper on business contracts, even though that wasn't the assignment, and got a really bad grade. So, you know, this whole movement toward abortion and separation of families is communism. That's what the Maoists did. That's what the Viet Cong did. That's what Ho Chi Minh did. That's what all of them did. And do you divide the family so the government can be your little dictator tyrant? And the bottom line is the Biden administration is doing a really good job of that. You know, when they cut oil down and working class people like me have to fill their diesel truck up at $5.59 a gallon to go lay stone in the morning or do whatever they have to do. And they say that electric vehicles will take the place, and then they dictate that and take your individual rights away. When the Albemarle County taxes you to a point where you can't afford to stay in your own home here in Albemarle County, there's right. step two. I mean, they are all tyrants. Our Board of Supervisors are tyrant communists. Many of our legislators are, and definitely the Biden administration are a bunch of tyrant, traitor communists, in my opinion.
Well, and don't forget, they're going to vote a pay raise for themselves tonight, Greg, because, you know, it's hard work being a tyrant. It's hard work micromanaging every person's life. And when you say you will own nothing and be happy, it is the idea that your unhappiness comes from owning things. It's so ridiculous, but that is the debasement, the idea that you know, there is no moral right and wrong. There's only what you can get enough votes for. And it's a dangerous place. But maybe earlier Mason suggested that this is another great moment, just like when Terry McAuliffe insisted on saying parents have no right to know anything about their kids' education. Do you share that feeling that this is a moment where, you know, guys like Chuck Schumer and Congress people like Abigail Spanberger are going to climb that hill like Terry McAuliffe at their own political peril because people are realizing what's going on?
I think we should close down public schools and give people whatever the amount of money is to send them to the private schools of their choice, because public schools are an indoctrination factories, and so are colleges. And so for that reason, I would close them down. And I would say to our Board of Supervisors and many of our legislatures, if they want to see the face of a communist just when they get up in the morning and look in the mirror, just open their eyes.
Well, hang in there, my friend. It's there are more of us than there are of them. That's why they have to play games with election law. So you hang in there.
All right, buddy.
Be good. 434-964-1075. Father Frank Pavone, the head of Priests for Life. I wonder what his thought on this is. No, I'm kidding. I'm pretty well aware of what his thought is on this. But let's take that angle. Let's take the angle of fighting unplanned pregnancies, because that's the holistic. Let's fight bad marriages. Let's not just empower divorce attorneys. Let's do a better job of teaching young men and women how to find holistic relationships, uplifting and empowering relationships. Let's work harder at fighting unplanned pregnancies by teaching people their own value rather than insisting that you really don't have one.
Avoid the traffic. Listen for reports all morning and whenever there's an accident on Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV.
Come along if you can.
So here's a strategy that should unite everyone. Reduce the number of unplanned pregnancies. Could anyone be against that?
Ah, yeah, there you go. So the leaked, and again, remember, Politico is the gossip rag of Washington, D.C. They did a big expose based on a whistleblower out of Congressman Tom Garrett's office and completely missed Tom Garrett's real issue, which Tom eventually came to grips on himself. So don't hold them to high esteem in this. This email, and then we've got Father Frank Pavone from Priests for Life on there. Steve writes in to joe@wchv.com. when those who attack monuments of the founding fathers over the issue of slavery with the argument that they should have known how inhumane and horrible it was wake up and recognize that future generations will look upon them with the same disdain and disgust because they did not see how inhumane and horrible abortion is, only then can we remove abortion as an option for birth control. And Steve, I particularly like the way you stick the landing on that, because that's what's happened, is that we've been debased to the point where instead of thinking of this as some existential medical emergency, it's just birth control. It's just easier than going and finding some barrier in my drawer that I have to fumble around with. It's just easier. I can take a pill and all those things. And it debased the idea of the very beautiful thing that Congress, as the Kama Sutra called it, creates. Father Frank, how are you doing this morning, sir, Priest for Life? What is I don't think it's a mystery what your feeling is on Justice Alito's words, but how are you feeling this morning? What is the mood at Priest for Life?
Well, it is a mood of really, really, it's surreal, because this is something we've been working for over five decades, and we see this decision from, which is, of course, confirmed by Justice Roberts. It's a real document, you know. It's not official yet, but this looks like where the court is going. It gives us everything we were asking for. It's a complete reversal of Roe versus Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And, we can unpack what that means, but we are very, very, very happy. It's like a moment when you know that the prayers and the sacrifices and the efforts of people around the country for over 50 years are coming to a culmination. That doesn't mean our work would be done if this opinion becomes official, but it does mean we enter into a new phase where we'll be much more able to protect the unborn.
Well, let's go to that route. Let's say that whatever the agenda was for this unprecedented leak of this document is to change some Supreme Court justices' views, just like we see in local courts where they give out the home address of the judge that may determine whether some case could go forward so that they get yelled at, or Maxine Waters saying, when you find them in the gas station, get in their face. And mob rule mentality. What is the thought at Priests for Life to fight back and to encourage anyone who might have supported this ruling to stay the course?
Yeah, well, Joe, let's think of it this way. We see thousands of pro-abortion people coming out in front of the Supreme Court the last couple of days. We see Elizabeth Warren having a public meltdown over this, Biden, Schumer, Pelosi, all of them. It's like, my question is, hey, wait a minute, guys. I thought you said this was a constitutional right, so why can't you defend it? Why are you going crazy? It's a constitutional right. I thought you said this was settled law, so why are you so unsettled about it? I thought you said most of the American people supported pro-choice, so why are you worried? You know, their behavior is completely, why do you have to intimidate these justices if you have such a strong case? And not as just a strong case today in this case, but you have had a strong case for 50 years, according to you. What's the problem? So, the psychiatrists tell us, believe behavior. If you see somebody, gulping uncontrollably at a water fountain, and meanwhile, in between gulps, they look at you and they say with the water dripping down their face, oh, I'm not thirsty, I'm not thirsty, and then they keep drinking. You believe the behavior, you don't believe the words. And I think the behavior of the other side right now, in this it is a despicable act to leak an opinion like this. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Is it surprising, or should it be surprising, that the one issue on which this unprecedented leak occurs is indeed the abortion issue? Because the people are with us. The people are pro-life, and the Constitution gives no right to abortion whatsoever, and the other side is getting desperate.
Well, when they, as Justice Alito writes in this opinion, and again, you know, this could just be one of the drafts, and I don't know how the deliberative process goes on inside the Supreme Court. The Chief Justice might ask all the members of the majority vote to write their version of what the opinion should look like and hand them in like a homework assignment, and then, you know, decide which one they use, which is very reasonable. I've been in deliberative groups, you know, where something needs to be published or issued, and that's how they do it. And so this could just be one of five majority opinions, and we don't know if this was the one that was actually going to be used or not. But Father Frank, when he writes that it seems like all you have left is the due process clause of the 14th Amendment, there is a part of this that concerns me, because it's about whether or not the state gets to know whether I'm having medical medical treatment, say a vaccination. Let's just use that hypothetically. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. The point here is that, first of all, Justice Alito is destroying the argument that there's a right to abortion to be found in the 14th Amendment. At the time the amendment was adopted, in fact, one third of this 98-page opinion is quoting state laws from the time in the mid-19th century when the 14th Amendment was adopted. And three-quarters of the states prohibited abortion throughout pregnancy. So it doesn't make sense that a state would be prohibiting abortion, and at the same time, the very same state authorities would be ratifying an amendment that purportedly includes a right to abortion. So that's one thing. He clears the deck historically. Roe v. Wade has very, very bad bad history, as well as bad science and bad constitutional law in it. But the other point, you know, getting to what you're saying, you know, what we're hearing a lot here now from Biden and from other people on the other side is that, oh my goodness, if we allow this to happen, that the court reverses Roe, we are going to be putting all sorts of other rights in danger. But here's where we have to pause and look at what the court has already said about abortion. Even in Roe v. Wade, even in Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which continued the legacy of Roe, and in numerous other places, the court has acknowledged that abortion is a unique act. And Justice Alito brings up this point in this draft opinion as well.
And Father Frank, yeah. I've got to run to a quick break here. I want to pick up on that when we come back, okay?
Sure.
Delivering all the news Central Virginia needs since 2001 without any price increase. Ever. Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV. As popular as the flowering dogwoods in Charlottesville. Without the sneezing. Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the morning, and tell me about the leak from the Supreme Court intended to create protests, and interestingly, within hours of its leak and publication on Politico, the gossip rag of Washington, D.C., there was a huge crowd of people there, almost as if they knew it was happening. We're visiting with Father Frank Pavone, Priest for Life. Father Frank, you were talking about this misinterpretation, this misapplication of the 14th Amendment, and that really this opinion, if it is the one that was going to be published, certainly takes it to task. But doesn't it also take to task the idea that government gives rights in the first place? 14th Amendment just guarantees that you can't be denied a due process under law, if I understand it correctly.
Yes, well, and Justice Alito goes into this. There are rights that are specifically enumerated in the Constitution, and then he points out the court is very reluctant to start giving constitutional status to rights that are not enumerated in the Constitution, because then people go off in all kinds of directions with all kinds of concepts about what liberty means. And very often they just mean, well, it's whatever I want to do. So the court is very, very cautious. I mean, we believe in liberty. Obviously, it's a cornerstone of American life. Mm-hmm. But you know, Justice Alito points out that the Supreme Court has repeatedly said abortion is a unique act. We can't just talk about the freedom of the mother who might want an abortion. We have to recognize, and again, this is not us saying it, it's the court saying it, that abortion is the only action here that is involving the purposeful termination of a life, of a human life. Sometimes they'll say a potential human life, but nevertheless, they recognize it's alive and that abortion is ending it. So that puts it in a unique category. It's not like other kinds of freedom that do not take the human life. And that has to be front and center in our considerations as a country of where we're going to go with this issue.
Father Frank, you know, and I was saying this earlier, and it has always been my testimony. We actually opened with a clip of a U.S. senator talking about, you know, reducing unplanned pregnancies. He's a Catholic, and his name is Tim Kaine. He's also a Democrat, and that seems to probably create a problem for him sometimes, given the agenda. But you know, we need to do this, but we don't need the government doing it. The government is in artful at best at doing these things. But in the town square, folks like you and me, we need to be helping young people make better choices so that the need for this horrific industry doesn't continue.
Well, that's right. And that is so much of what the pro-life movement does. In fact, many of the briefs that have come to the court in this current case are talking about the educational work, the pastoral work, the pregnancy centers, which now, unlike at the time of Roe and Casey, now outnumber the abortion facilities by a margin of almost 4-1. It's an amazing multiplication of, like you said, people like you and me and folks that we all know in local communities from coast to coast, standing up, stepping up, reaching out their hands and helping young people, first of all, to have the virtues of self-control and understanding. You don't just get into this situation magically where all of a sudden you have an unexpected pregnancy. But then also for those who do end up pregnant and in need, the help is available. There are alternatives to abortion more than there have ever been before.
Yeah, my friends at Thrive, the Crisis Pregnancy Center here, so many great doctors that I've known and nurses and practitioners there in the work that they do. But what about this idea, and of course the Bible tells us render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, but this isn't. And yet you have Catholics, I was just asked during the break by a listener, he said, what about these Catholics like Tim Kaine and Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah.
And how do they rationalize this, or do they walk a very fine tightrope of it and just point to the court? And maybe this is that moment where the court says, hey, stop hiding behind us.
Well, that is what the court is saying in this, and that's a very important point because people have to realize a lot of legislators and other officials, they hide behind the justices, and they're all too happy to say, hey, folks, don't blame me for abortion. It's out of my hands. And to a certain extent, that's true as far as what the court has been doing. But now that's about to change. So what we say to the other side is stop whining and complaining that the court has taken away your right to abortion. They've done no such thing. What they're saying to you is make your case. If you think tearing babies apart is a good idea, make your case to your legislators, make your case to your fellow voters, and you still have the opportunity to pass laws that would allow abortion right up until the day of birth, like New Jersey recently did and a number of other states. And in regard to these Catholic pro-abortion politicians, you know, you can justify anything. If you have loyalties, they have these loyalties to the Democrat Party, and some of religious leaders do as well. And therefore, they find that, oh, I don't want to offend my friends or my benefactors by making them look bad on abortion. And so they twist their minds and they make all kinds of excuses. And so, and a lot of these politicians, you know, they have priests that they go to. And as a priest, I have to say very honestly, you know, some of these priests are more guilty than the politicians are by giving them bad guidance. And they make them think that there's some kind of theological way to justify the killing of babies. There isn't. Not only is there no theological way, there's no human way to justify it. One of the things about Kaine and Biden and all these people, notice this. They never describe what they defend. And this is my challenge to them. You want to stand up before the American public and say it's a right, even a constitutional right, to have an abortion? Well, then I challenge you, describe the abortion procedure just like the medical books do. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to quote pro-life people. look at the medical books, look at the abortionists, and show people what an abortion looks like. We've got a website, lookatabortion.org, and I challenge these politicians to say it, look at it, show it, and, you know, keep defending it if you want to defend it, but the reality is when you see it.
Father Frank? I think we lost him.
Yes.
When you see it, it's a, anyway, I appreciate it, sir, and keep fighting the fight. It's priestsforlife.org. And what was the website of that show? What was it called?
Oh, yes. Look at abortion. Lookatabortion.org.
Thank you, sir. Have a blessed morning.
You too. Thanks for having me.
AM, FM, streaming, and now delivered by smartphone app. All free. Always free. Inflation-proof information. WCHV.
Ted Steve Morning Stewart is on the line with us at 434-964-1075. Then we got Marie Fisher coming up from Project 21. We have a group of black conservatives talk about some of this as it rumbles out of the gossip rag of Washington, D.C. Politico magazine. Good morning, Stewart. What's going on, my friend?
Good morning, Joe. Well, of course, I'm devastated to see the United States Supreme Court undermined by the sedition that is rolling through the country.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if the leftist deep state apparatchik who did this may have overplayed their hand by doing it the weekend of Mother's Day.
Yeah. Well,
conflicting imperatives, you got them.
Well, I almost don't think that there's somebody, and you got to realize some of these people think they're so smart, Stuart, that they're like, no, let's do it Mother's Day because Roe versus Wade is about motherhood and is empowering moms. It's actually the opposite. But the idea of the narrative that they tell, oh, you can't tell me I can't do this. You can't tell me none of what at least I've portended to do the last 2 days has been about telling somebody they can or can't do something. I think free choice, as Jefferson said, is best done when everyone is fully educated and aware of what's going on. So I want to fight unplanned pregnancies.
Absolutely.
That's what I want people to know.
I mean, there's nothing easier than not getting pregnant.
Yeah.
There's nothing easier than not getting pregnant. I mean, let's ask people who have tried for years and can't. It could be very, I mean, it just doesn't happen. And women who talk about, my body, like, yeah, it's your body, so keep foreign elements out of it. I mean, unless you're intent to deal with the potential responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah, the whole word choice.
You're just letting men, I don't know.
The word choice should be applied 6 months earlier. And make those choices better because, Father Frank was talking about our seven virtues, including chastity, is not just saying don't, but be judicious about it. Do you say, is this the fella that I want to? And that's where marriage comes along. That's where, creating a family and then the whole debasement of the family in abstract, not just in this.
Even if you want to be just as hedonistic as possible and just say, look, it's still the easiest thing in the world not to get pregnant. I can give you all manner of things that you can do to satisfy your lust if that's your intent. Just don't get pregnant, okay?
That's it? Well, that's
the only thing we're asking you. We're not asking you to change your morals. We're just asking you to just don't do this one thing that results in conception.
Yeah.
And then think you can just scrape it out.
And there's science that says this is the biological outcome of that act. I thought we were supposed to follow the science, right, Stuart?
Right. And the example people keep giving with regard to violence, of course, and pregnancy resulting from assault. The fact of the matter remains, even in the most egregious of those cases, those are where someone is the most likely to realize within, let's say, a Texas 6-week period, that they need to get something taken care of because they're thinking about it. They're thinking about what just happened to them and how horrible it was. So I don't think if you're paying the least little bit of attention, 6 weeks is too short a time.
Well, and the very concept of rape and sexual assault is another point where we've debased the value of each other. I mean, we're just looking at each other as physical manifestations of wants and desires. That's a horrific place to be. You know, not metaphysically, but socially, to think so little of each other that we're just, you know, objects of desire. It's kind of sad. But I must run, Stuart. Good stuff as always, my friend.
Talk to you later, Joe.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 Heart Healthy Listening for Central Virginia. WCHV is not intended to treat any actual medical conditions and should be listened to in conjunction with a well-balanced diet. Consult your physician before turning away from WCHV.